The following is brought to you in association with and from a proud partner of the Shining Wizards Network. Entertainment here.
You're listening to Wrestling Night in Canada on the Shining Wizards Network with your hosts, Matt Copper, Dustin Maruca, and Snowy White.
What's up, everyone? Welcome to another exciting episode of Wrestling Night in Canada. I'm Snowy White.
I'm Matt Copper.
I'm Dustin Maruca.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Well, another WrestleMania season has come and gone.
Yep.
And it didn't seem like a year. I mean, the last Mania, wasn't it Cody, where he had the big black dusty splotch on his arm? On his shoulder.
That was Hell in a Cell, like, in 2022.
Yeah.
Like, you mean the torn muscle?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that was like,
that
in
was
2022.
That was 2 years ago.
That was a long time ago.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, then... that was his last match before he had surgery, before he went out and then came back at the Royal Rumble, then won that, and then faced Roman, and then lost, and then, you know, then the whole thing basically restarted all over again.
Ah, okay, well, what was the main event last year for me?
It was Roman. Cody and Roman, again. But
okay, so this is the third time's a charm.
Second time.
Oh, it was the second time, but like the. Rollins is who he faced.
Rollins,
yeah.
He had the splotch match.
Yeah, the splotch.
The splotch.
The splotch in a cell.
There's a Vince McMahon gimmick from the 80s. The splotch.
Yes.
Such good shit.
Yeah. Well, Dusty had that famous whatever that was on his side there. That splotch.
Oh.
Yeah, that's what I'm getting at.
Okay.
Oh, okay. Sorry, guy.
Dusty splotch.
Dusty had this green or yellow splotch on his side when you look at old pictures of him.
And mm-hmm.
So that's when I saw Cody, like, with his shoulder all covered in his dad's splotch like that. That's immediately what I thought. It's like, oh, boy, he inherited his dad's splotch. But it was...
he tore his bicep working out.
Yeah.
Oh, Dusty never worked.
Worked out.
Come on.
Hard. No, but Cody did. I think the running joke at that time, because Vince was still around, was that like Cody was like, if I can't bleed on the outside, I'll bleed on the inside.
That's right.
Oh yeah, because you weren't allowed to bleed.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes, but getting back to what you were saying before, I derailed us already.
WrestleMania season.
Yeah, it was Mania season, and it's in the books, and a lot of things have actually happened since then, since we were able to sit down and discuss.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, we have a lot to talk about, so instead of dicking around further, why don't we jump into it? I know, you know, for all the Matt fans out there, they're waiting for you to give your results and all that for WrestleMania. So let's give her.
As we go through the results of WrestleMania, there's going to be a couple asterisks attached to a few of the matches. So we're going to start off as is normal now for WrestleMania. This was a two-night event, which, you know, I'm thankful for, because after WrestleMania 35, having to sit through 8 hours of wrestling, I was starting to get a little tired of it, you know? So having it 2 days, like 4 hours apiece, is a little more digestible,
mm-hmm.
which I enjoyed. So and we'll continue to enjoy. It makes it feel more like a bigger event, I guess, in my opinion, like a weekend event. So
right.
I'm all for it. I'm all for it.
I think so too.
Yeah, this year took place in Philadelphia at the Link, or the Lincoln Financial Field, for those for those who like endorsements. But like, overall, I'd say this is probably, it's up there with some of my favorite Manias, but, you know, we'll get to that a little bit later in our turnbuckle talk. We'll go through the matches one by one now, starting with night one. First match of the night was for the women's world title, Rhea Ripley defending against Becky Lynch. Apparently, going into this match, Becky Lynch had a high fever and strep throat, so, you know, props to her for going out there and doing the job, as so to speak. Rhea ended up retaining after a damn good 17-minute match, but the unfortunate thing is she injured herself, and she injured her shoulder, and she's going to be out for the foreseeable future. And as of Raw, last night at the time of recording, she had to vacate her women's world title.
Now, did she get hurt at Mania?
There's still speculation whether she got hurt at Mania or whether she got hurt fighting with Liv, because she didn't actually wrestle on the Raw after Mania. It was just the backstage scuffle. Okay. So there is speculation that the backstage thing with Liv was just an excuse to write her off TV.
Yeah. Right. Which I have to admit, okay, the Liv Morgan revenge tour and her t-shirt that say that, I love it. That's fantastic. Yeah. It reminds me when Greg Valentine walked around with a regular 70s iron-on t-shirt that said, I broke Wahoo's leg. That one t-shirt that wasn't even merch. It's just something he wore. Nuclear heat. It was fantastic.
Well, it's kind of similar to what Drew McIntyre's doing right now with his... with his whole, I ruined CM Punk's WrestleMania.
Right. right. It
it's
works.
Time to do some triceps.
Yeah, it's like, let's tear up them triceps. But, I don't know if there's going to be a tournament to crown a new women's world champion or if they're just going to have, a multi-women match.
Well, it's happening next week.
It is?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
They're crowning the new champion next week.
Interesting. Okay, I didn't catch that part.
So, probably Battle Royal.
Oh, that's lame.
Yeah, I don't
just
like
do
that.
Like a tournament throughout the show.
Yeah, well, I mean, it is on Raw, so it's a 3-hour show, so they easily could. But they already have a few matches already planned for it. So, in my opinion, they should just have a tournament for the next few weeks and then crown a new champion at Backlash. Why is that so different?
It's not that hard. Of course, this brings me to the question: why are they stripping her?
Because
she's going to be out
for
a few months. I know.
Okay. But a precedent has been set.
Yes.
You know, with part-timers like Roman and Brock Lesnar and all that. So why start now? Okay. But on the other hand as well, though, okay, new regime. Vince is gone. Okay. Mm-hmm. Maybe Trips wants... the idea is to go back, like the WWE wants to go back to a more sports-based presentation, and they've been calling it wrestlers and pro wrestling. And has someone used the word card yet? I mean,
yes.
Really? Yeah. Okay, I was just about to say, that's when I become a WWE fan, is when someone says card on
the
air.
Well, it was Michael Cole, so.
At the very end of WrestleMania, Michael Cole said, I love pro wrestling.
Right.
Then Vince threw a chair through his window.
Oh, probably. I don't give a shit what Vince does. Vince,
this is the first Vince-less Mania, and it was glorious.
When Stephanie walked out, you got so pissed.
Yeah, I'm still kind of choked that they refer to as Stephanie McMahon and not Stephanie Levesque, because I think that would have been the final.
That would have been
final nail in Vince's coffin.
Gut punch to Vince, being like, ladies and gentlemen, Stephanie Levesque.
Like the joke we watched upstairs. But it's just Vince going,
you're fired.
Last thing he does.
Yeah.
He's got fired.
Yeah.
I'm fired. Yeah. That's the last thing he says. Yeah. Okay. So it's a vacant.
Yes. The women's world title is vacant.
But we should also mention that Becky Lynch wrestled with 102 degrees.
Oh, I already did mention that. I mentioned that off the hop.
Oh, yeah, you did. Yeah. My brain's not here today, boys.
Gotta give her credit. Full props.
Give both women props for finishing the match if Rhea got injured during it and Becky had strep throat and a 102 degree fever. So.
And then went out and wrestled 15 minutes.
Yeah.
20 minutes.
Yeah, 17:05 it says here. But, next on the match was the six-team ladder match for the Undisputed Tag Team titles. Now, both sets of titles were hung up separately, and the rule was that both had to be taken down separately in order for the match to end, so they kind of used this as a means to split up the tag team titles again, because the Judgment Day had both sets for a long time, because the Usos had both, and then Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens had both, and then the Judgment Day had both. And, for the longest time, I thought they were just going to keep them as one thing and maybe introduce, one new set of belts.
Imagine that.
But, but who am I,
That's right. That's
So during this match, pretty quick into the match, too, the team of A-Town Down Under, which is Austin Theory and Grayson Waller, were able to pull down the SmackDown tag team titles. And then After then the actual meat of the match started, and we ended up getting the Awesome Truth, or our Truth and the Miz, were able to pull down the Raw tag team titles. So now the tag team titles are split back up again after like over 2 years being unified. And so last night on Raw, we officially got new tag team titles on Raw. They're no longer the Raw tag team titles, thank God, because that show specific branding was just the most Vince thing ever. And I fucking when they renamed the women's titles to what they are now, I was so happy. And I was like, okay, cool. When are they going to do that with the tag team titles and get rid of those god awful belts?
Well, the nickel belts?
Yeah.
Or like the ones with the W's?
No. The W's are with it. At least they're gold now and not like blue and red. Mm-hmm. They look more like titles than toys now. Let's just put it that
right.
way. but the tag team titles, they had like the silver plates with the two Spartan heads on them that they just looked bad. Like they looked like Vince saw prototypes and was just like, sure, pal.
Vince saw Penny and was like, this,
yeah, I want that. And of course they had to be red and blue because, you know, show branding.
Of course.
Yeah.
Of course.
But last night on Raw, as part of the entry into the Paul Levesque era, the Raw tag team titles were renamed the World Tag Team titles, and we got new belts to go along with it. Yes, they are gold. Yes, they are extremely detailed in the plates. They look good. I won't say they look great. I'm not a fan of how they're circular still. That I could do without.
Mm-hmm.
But unless it's the big Eagle WWE Championship. That was a good circle belt. But
I really hope Cody brings that.
No, he won't. we're stuck with the big W for a while.
Could you imagine like a new one?
Yeah, I could.
Winged Eagle design with a W in the center?
Yeah. Well, there's that mock-up that's been online for a while, mm-hmm. but they only introduced the current one like not even a year ago, so we're probably going to be stuck with that for a while. But so this is just, I'm guessing this means this Friday on SmackDown, as we speak, is they're going to be reintroducing new tag team titles for them, and I can only assume that they're going to be called the WWE tag team titles. I hope they don't look exactly the same with a little bit of like blue theme to it, because like the World Tag Team titles do have like a red coloring on the belts, but not red straps, thank God.
Here's what they look like.
Yeah.
The top one. People are comparing it to the WCW.
Yeah, oh. So the top one, that's...
Oh, well, the WCW looks much better.
Well,
but
I don't know why they're comparing the two, but yeah, but that's significantly better than the title we had. Like,
oh, okay.
I'd say there's like the detailing with the lions and the coat of arms looks all right. I think.
All right. Yeah. Yeah. No, it doesn't. It's.
It's like. It's, sorry, let me get back on my microphone. it was significantly better than what we had.
Yeah,
we'll say.
Yes.
But the nostalgic in me will always love those World Tag Team titles that had the red globe on them from like 2006. But I understand we can't have those anymore. But so the winners of the six pack tag team ladder match were A-Town Down Under and the Awesome Truth. New tag team champions, new champions all around.
Okay.
Okay. Following this was a tag team match. It was Rey Mysterio and Andrade taking on Dirty Dominic Mysterio and Santos Escobar. This match didn't get as much time as I thought it should have. It was only like 10-minute match. And for like, considering this is Dominic and Rey Mysterio's second WrestleMania match in a row.
Yeah.
And it was sponsored by another cereal, right?
No, it was sponsored, or was it?
Yeah, it was sponsored by something. Every match was sponsored by something this year.
Oh, yeah, but...
I didn't even notice
last
that.
Year was Cinnamon Toast Crunch.
Yeah, last year their match was Cinnamon Toast Crunch. This year was, like, something else. I can't... Or it was, like... Wasn't it Dude Wipes or something?
I think Dude Wipes was on the Buckle all night, though.
Okay. Well, I can't remember. Like, I remember
we made that joke during Rhea and Becky where it's like, why is this... So it's a chick match sponsored by Dude Wipes.
Okay, I don't know what Dude Wipes are, but I think that's...
Do you actually not?
Yeah, I don't know. What is Dude Wipes?
It's a bathroom wipe. Like, it's like a moist wipe instead of toilet paper, you know?
Oh, you use it on yourself?
Yeah, after the bathroom.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, personal wipes.
Okay, that's fine. It's yeah. Just, like
you know when you take those wicked
but
yeses?
But for men.
You know when you take a really good, you know, wicked one and you need something else to help?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Dude wipes.
So you use dude wipes. Because, like, when I first saw that, it's like, okay, is this a special brand of Kleenex for when a guy really needs Kleenex?
No. You know? No. Mean? It's for bathroom use after okay. after a number two. Okay.
Bathroom use.
Yeah, it's if you watch the movie Deadpool 2, there's a part where two guys are talking about him. It's pretty funny, but you get the gist of the idea.
Oh, okay.
Like,
oh boy.
Yeah. We never thought I'd be talking about bathroom wipes on this podcast, but here we are.
Yeah.
But yeah, Rey and Andrade got the win. I thought it was a fairly, I don't want to say lackluster, but underwhelming match, mm-hmm. I guess, for what it could have been.
And like with Rey Mysterio involved in that too, like.
Yeah. Like, well, everybody involved. Like, mm-hmm. like even Dom. Like.
Oh, even.
Yeah.
Even that little puke.
Well, hey, this kid pulled out a Canadian destroyer last night on Raw.
I know. He's really come on a lot more than I gave him credit for.
Yeah.
Just a couple years ago. But it's fun.
The funnest part about him hitting the Canadian destroyer last night was when it was in Montreal last night.
Okay, Raw. Yeah.
And when he hit it, Pat McAfee said, "This country destroyer."
This country destroyer.
Yeah. Oh, another funny McAfee line from last night. When he pronounced Montreal as Montreal, he's like, "Why don't they pronounce the T? It's clearly there."
I say it like that sometimes, mm-hmm. just Montreal.
Montreal. Yeah,
that's just from watching hockey in the 70s.
Of course,
you hear that all the time,
and like, well, seeing all the Hab stuff like in the backstage area, all the Stanley Cups they won, you know, just in case. Just rubbing it in the Toronto Maple Leafs face, you know.
Well, right after the Jets, go Leafs, go.
Yep.
In my lifetime, I want to see the Winnipeg Jets win a Stanley Cup, and then the next season, I want to see the Leafs win.
Yeah?
Those two teams at some point in my lifetime.
Hmm.
But.
Yeah. I wouldn't mind seeing it either, but I guess time shall tell.
That's right.
But, anyway, next match was one of the matches I was looking forward to the most that kind of under-delivered as well. It was Jey Uso versus Jimmy Uso. This kind of just ended up being just a super kick fest, from what I recall.
16 super kicks.
Yeah, and it only got 10 minutes again, like bell to bell. Like, you would think that a match with that kind of a build, and considering how badly these two wanted to face each other at Mania, I don't know. I was expecting so much more, and I didn't get what I thought I was going to get. So, I guess they make for a great team, but not great opponents.
Yeah. Like, after a while, it was like, okay, I understand.
Yeah.
Old man Sonoy, hey, times have kind of changed on you. So sometimes the big finishing maneuvers, okay, aren't really finishing maneuvers anymore.
Mm-hmm.
But 16 of the finishing
16
maneuvers.
16 fucking super kicks.
Come on.
I know. I know. It gets a little ridiculous after a while.
If you get up from one each, okay, fine. It builds the suspense because now, okay, what am I going to do? My big move.
Yeah.
It didn't work. Well, I'll just do it 15 more fucking times.
Yeah, you know, that'll work.
Sometimes Cornette's right.
Sometimes. Not all the time, not often, but sometimes. Even a broken clock is right twice a day.
That's right.
But, okay, next up we had the 6-woman tag team match. It was Jade Cargill making her WrestleMania debut, teaming with Bianca Belair and Naomi to take on Damage Control's Dakota Kai, Asuka, and Kairi Sane, meaning that the women's tag team titles were not defended at WrestleMania.
Yeah.
This match, again, kind of underdelivered. It was only 8 minutes long. I was kind of hoping for more, I guess, but I don't know. I'm not saying this WrestleMania was bad by any means. I did say it was overall it was one of my favorites, but that was mostly because of like the next match that I'm about to talk about. So
it was predictable.
Like, yeah,
there
it
was
like
no way that
Jade was going to lose
Cargill
her first
was
match.
Lose, yeah,
yeah,
you know.
And I guess like even though her her theme song they tried to make like as close to her AEW theme as possible without like getting into any legal trouble. There was a couple riffs in there that reminded me of the 90s X-Men cartoon.
Okay, I'm gonna have to listen for that.
Yeah, there's a couple notes that I was just like, hey, I know that. That reminds me of my childhood. But next up, easily match of the night for night one for me was Gunther defending the Intercontinental Championship against Sami Zayn.
Mm-hmm. Right.
The classic underdog story, the build to this match. Could Sami do it? Could he do it? And, well, like, there was so many points during the match where it was just like, he was getting beaten down. You doubted whether or not he was going to. And, like, we got Gunther here, who's been literally the longest reigning Intercontinental Champion of all time. Now, like, I think his reign was 600 days.
666 days.
Yeah.
Wow.
Really?
Yeah.
Nice. Okay.
That's a nice number to leave
it at. It is. Yeah. I like that number. But
people who saw his days of reigns getting offended.
Yeah. But, yeah. Like, after many, many great spots and, like, Sammy kicking out of, Sammy took a few chops, but he ended up kicking out of a few great finishing moves from, or a few moves that you thought would finish the match from Gunther, but, you know, Sammy wouldn't stay down. He had too much heart, goddammit. And he ended up hitting that top, Sammy hit that top rope brain buster on Gunther, which looked like a botch almost, but it wasn't. But thankfully, Gunther didn't get hurt. And after, I think it was two haluva kicks that he hit on Gunther, finally got him down for... He did, like, that epic, like, crawling over to pin him and cover him.
He had to do the brain buster.
Yeah, oh, the brain buster. Yeah.
Taken from Rest in Peace, El Generico.
Yeah, of course. But, but yeah, but hey, I think he hit one haluva kick and didn't get him down. But the second haluva kick, he, like, crawled over to him in that epic, like, that epic moment of whether he was going to get to him in time. And he covered him, and he got the three, and Sammy won the Intercontinental title at WrestleMania, got his WrestleMania moment for the second year in a row, because he had one last year with KO when they won the tag team titles. But, yeah, this one he did all on his own, and, yeah, he did what nobody else could do in WWE, and he beat Gunther.
Right on.
Yeah, it was a nice, wholesome moment for night one. I enjoyed it, yeah.
So I'm kind of thinking with because the IC title traditionally was they put the title on someone, I guess with the exception of the Honky Tonk Man, and just to see, okay, the reaction, let's see how he does it with this, and maybe he can go to that next step.
Yeah.
You know, Randy Savage, Bret Hart, you know, they went from Intercontinental to World.
Yeah.
They didn't have much faith in Kerry Von Erich, so it kind of ended at that.
Yeah.
I don't know why Rick Rude never had a world title run. He definitely should have. Not counting WCW.
WCW.
Like,
Same with Roddy Piper. Like,
yeah. Well, yeah, but Piper never really ever.
Well, Piper.
In any federation, did Piper ever need a title?
No, well, he even, like, before he even won the Intercontinental title, he had left for a while to make movies, I think.
Right.
Yeah, and then he came back and won the Intercontinental title, and nobody thought he was going to do it because they thought he was just there for a little bit. But, but yeah, with that, the whole tradition of them, of using that as a stepping stone, seems to have, like, dwindled quite a bit, because I've seen guys who were, like, world champions first that have become Intercontinental champion afterwards.
AJ Styles, yeah. I think, yeah.
Seth Rollins.
Mm-hmm.
So far, Sheamus, I have to imagine, is going to go after the Intercontinental title, because that's the only one he hasn't won yet.
Right, yeah, they made a point of saying
He beat Riddle for the U.S. title.
Who did?
Sheamus.
Yeah, but he was also U.S. champion before that.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, even the United States title. Like, you look at Kevin Owens was U.S. champion after he was world champion.
The greatest United States.
Yeah.
That gimmick was fantastic.
Yeah, the new face of America.
Yeah.
Yeah. But.
Loved it.
So maybe that's where they're going with Gunther. He's gonna
come back.
Chase for one of the titles.
Yeah. I guess I could see him showing up after being drafted to the same show that Cody is on and battling with Cody for the world title at some point.
I mean, I would have loved to see Gunther versus Roman, though, honestly.
Yeah, but heel versus heel dynamic.
Yeah.
So that's, like, because now with Damian Priest, Well, okay, well, I'll get to that. Yep. I still haven't got to that part yet.
Do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do.
But,
that's not a prediction.
It's, yeah, but, yeah. Well, I guess I kind of spoiled it with the whole Cody thing already.
Yeah.
If you're listening, you already know what happened.
Mm-hmm.
But, anyway.
Just rewind a little bit.
Yeah, the main event for night one was the Bloodline, The Rock and Roman Reigns versus Cody Rhodes and Seth Rollins in a tag team match. If the Bloodline won, the main event for night two between Roman and Cody would be Bloodline Rules. Now, basically that...
What were
that,
those?
That just means no disqualification or lots of run-ins from what I could tell.
Yeah. So, basically a match.
Yeah.
At this
yeah, it was
point,
basically
this,
the same match that we got last year, essentially. So it just means run-ins. Okay. But yeah, but and if Cody and Seth won, then it would be the Bloodline would be banned from ringside, as if that has ever made a difference either. Yeah. Like, I'm pretty sure Solo Sikoa was banned from ringside last year, but he just came back. Like
he did the how they did that spot in the WrestleMania 40 match too, where Cody had Roman in the crossroads and then Solo snuck in and Cody kicked out this time.
Yep. Well, that's not going to keep him down a second time. Are you kidding me? But yeah, this match went for 45 fucking goddamn minutes. Yeah.
Wow. It didn't seem that way.
Yeah. Like, I got to give props to The Rock for wrestling for that long. Like,
yeah.
Yeah. And he even got the win. Like, he got the pin and the win on Cody. And, he even got his own belt. You know, he's got the People's Championship.
Oh, my God. You had to remind me of that.
Oh, well, I think the whole purpose of this was to make your blood boil.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
So, yeah.
Uh-huh.
So he did his job correctly.
Yep.
Yeah, and it was...
It would have been cool, though, if, like, he didn't put himself over and have fucking Muhammad Ali's wife give him that. Mm-hmm. He should have just brought back the old Brahma Bull title.
Yeah, like the one that they didn't use, on TV.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was like supposed to be his version of the Smoking Skull Championship. Yeah, yeah.
That would have been nice to see.
Yeah, but this is
and then
is
people would have been like, new belt.
Oh,
like,
totally.
No.
Yeah,
like, yeah. This was totally Rock's idea, you know, to have Muhammad Ali's wife present him this great people's belt and all that. It's just like there's just so much that it's the Rock show.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you know, like his grandmother going into the Hall of Fame and his daughter getting this cushy position and like, you know, I'm kind of flustered for words here. It's just,
no, I know.
Sorry.
But anyway.
But yeah, Rock.
Since The Rock and Reigns won the undisputed WWE Universe.
Rock and Reigns.
Yeah.
The Rock and Reigns
connection.
The Rock and Roman Express.
Yeah.
That's right.
The Rock and Reigns connection.
There you go.
Yeah. But yeah, since they won, the title match for night two will be held under Bloodline rules. So.
All right.
Yep.
Sure.
So can Cody overcome the odds?
Right.
And finish the story.
Uh-huh.
On to night two. Now we turn the page. The first match of night two was for the World Heavyweight Championship, Drew McIntyre against Seth Rollins. Now, Seth Rollins was already beaten up from the night before, so he didn't get much offense in this match. Drew ended up winning, and like I should add that CM Punk was on commentary for this match.
Mm-hmm.
After he won, he decided to get in CM Punk's face and get all showboaty about it. He was the world champion. He was standing on the announcer's table, and CM Punk just swept his legs. He kicked his leg out from under his leg. Rest in peace, Owen Hart.
Mm.
And then proceeded to beat him down with the brace that he had on his arm for his torn tricep. Then after all that, Damian Priest came down to the ring and finally cashed in his Money in the Bank briefcase, starting another world title match, which Damian Priest won swiftly in 9 seconds and, became the new World Heavyweight Champion and is, now the World Heavyweight Champion on Raw.
And Drew McIntyre held it for 5 minutes.
Yep. Never, if you would have told me, like, 5 years ago that Punishment Martinez from Ring of Honor would eventually be World Champion in WWE, I would have called you a liar.
Yeah.
But
I could see him going to the WWE. I can see him going to the WWE.
But yeah.
Ever being world champion? No. No.
I no. Didn't. That was obviously a very much a Triple H call. For the, not only for him to win Money in the Bank, but for him to eventually cash it in at WrestleMania and become a world champion.
Second person to ever do that besides Seth.
Besides Seth, yeah. I'm surprised that Seth didn't retain and had it cashed in on him, because that would have been just like...
Yep.
But they had to do the build between Punk and Drew.
Oh, that's so. Definitely what they're doing.
Yeah.
That's the SummerSlam match. Punk's arm's good by then.
Well, who knows at this point.
We hope.
Yeah.
We hope,
he'll probably tear another tricep in that time.
He'll take the Drew's DDT again and tear the other one.
Mm-hmm. Yep. That'll be like the softest and safest looking match ever.
And Punk will still
hurt him. Have no faith in Punk at all.
No.
Well,
how did his injury start in AEW? He jumped into the crowd and broke his foot.
Yeah. And then in his match with Jon Moxley, he tore his tricep.
His return match.
Yeah. And then after. Yeah, I don't know if he tore anything in this match with Joe, which ended up being his last match in AEW, I don't think he did. But then he came back to WWE, and in the Royal Rumble match, tears his other fucking tricep. It's almost like Moxley was onto something when he said, fragile mind, fragile body, fragile ego.
Oh, yeah.
Cripple man Punk.
Yep.
Who now gets to sit at home and make millions.
Well, they're still using them on TV. They're not going to waste that millions that they're spending on them. So
they have
to have them. They have to roll them out there for some stuff.
Yeah.
Roll them up, talk shit, and you can leave.
Yeah, right. Roll them out for what he's best at, talking.
Yeah.
Bischoff and Tony Khan, they have then and now, they have no problem with just letting their big name guys with these multi contracts just to sit at home because they've got the sniffles.
Yeah.
Put them to work.
Mm-hmm.
Shit, help set up the ring.
So we're going to put your ass to work.
That's right. If they were my guys, they would be every day. They would be doing something. Like every show.
Oh, for sure.
But
whatever. Okay. Sorry that Triple H knows how to utilize talent and get his money's worth.
That's right. Yeah, I see. That's a problem with Bischoff and Khan. You're letting the inmates run the asylum.
And they would throw money around like it was nothing.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Well, and it's like for both situations, it wasn't their money. It was someone else's money. So
yeah.
It was dad bought him a wrestling promotion. Jeez.
Yeah, and with Bischoff, it was the bottomless pit of Ted Turner's bank account. So
just with my Clark Kent job, I've had to deal with snot-nosed little punks. You know, and I'm not even their official supervisor.
But
you know, and like I've had to kick their ass up and down the building and all that. So
yeah, you're gonna put your ass to work.
Let's get to work.
It's like in security work. Everyone knows I work in security. I talk shit about it all the time. Whatever.
Yeah.
It's like when I'm there and I'm training someone who had been there longer than me, and it's only my second day. Go fuck yourself.
Yeah, something's up there. Yeah.
And then I'd get shit for sending them home. I'm like, they don't know what to do.
Yeah.
I've been here fucking 2 days, and they already prefer me.
Yeah. Well,
I get that give everyone a chance, but fuck.
Yeah, there's a limit.
Exactly. He's been here for 5 years and doesn't know what he's doing?
Yeah.
Fucking get rid of him.
Oh, Jesus. Well.
We're having work-related flashbacks.
Fuck. PT.
Yeah. We need to focus on WrestleMania. Yes. I could go on about something related to my work, too, but I will not.
Oh, jeez, I can just imagine. Yeah. Okay.
Next match on the bill was a Philadelphia street fight with Bubba Ray Dudley as the special guest referee.
That was Tom Jones.
Makes sense.
Yeah, it was Dudley in Philadelphia. Sure. Mm-hmm. Yeah, makes sense. It was the Pride, which is Bobby Lashley, Angelo Dawkins, and Montez Ford. Versus the Final Testament, which was Karrion Kross, Akeem and Razor from the Authors of Pain. Now, I like all these guys involved in this match, but I appreciate they all get a WrestleMania payday, but I think a one-on-one match with Bobby and Karrion would have been a better idea. Same with a tag team match between the Street Profits and AOP. Mm-hmm. Maybe, but
they're going for that. Yeah.
Yeah, but I guess they had to put on the Philadelphia street fight and have it just be a chaotic match and like have Bubba Ray Dudley do his thing. He even whipped out the spectacles at one point, and he even, if I remember correctly, he even assisted the babyface team Which, right. I don't know, you're not really supposed to do when you're a referee.
No, but this was the sports entertainment portion of your evening.
Yeah, more or less.
But I get it. You're in Philly. You've got Bubba Ray. I almost said Bully Ray. You got Bubba Ray.
For tonight, it was Bubba Ray.
Yeah, do it.
But, yeah, the match was only 8.5 minutes, and it didn't really need to be any longer than that. But I hope this feud between the Pride and I think it's actually done now because the Final Testament showed up in NXT the other week, so there's that.
I like the Philadelphia street fight. I remember it's a wrestling trope,
mm-hmm.
that when you go, like, especially during the territory days, and, you know, and there's a ton of house shows, and okay, there was always the Texas Death Match.
Oh yeah.
Okay. But they would use that city. And I had to snicker when the WWF presented their Peterborough street fight.
Hmm.
And I'm like, because the mean streets of Peterborough, Ontario.
Yeah.
you know.
And like when Vince was still around Christmas time, they would have the Miracle on 34th Street fight.
I liked those. Those were entertaining.
Yeah. It's like there'd be a bunch of like Christmas presents and like Christmas trees around the ring.
The best gift of that is John Cena opening the chair. Like, yeah.
Yeah. it was literally just a steel chair wrapped in paper wrapping.
It was like in a cardboard box.
Oh.
And then Cena just opened it and his face lit up. He's like, yeah. Just lifted it out of the box. And then bashed Alberto. And then bashed Del Rio with it.
Well, at least it was Del Rio.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you're going to hit someone with a chair.
Mm-hmm.
Hit Del Rio or Vince.
and a myriad of other people. But anyway, the Pride ended up winning this match. Next up, I was calling this the two eras of TNA match because it was LA Knight taking on AJ Styles in a singles mm-hmm. match. Because I don't think these guys were ever in TNA together at the same time.
No.
Or if they were, they never really crossed paths.
Styles was the first incarnation of TNA, and I think Eli Drake was in Impact.
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense. Styles was already in WWE by the time Eli Drake showed up.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, being that they have, a partnership of sorts with TNA, you would think that, I don't know, maybe they could have used some of their old footage from... They could have built the feud around them mm-hmm. being, like, the main guys of their eras in that mm-hmm. company.
What they need to do is, you know how the TNA usually has a Hall of Fame every year now?
Yeah.
When AJ retires?
Oh, he's definitely going in.
Oh, of course.
Well, they'll put him in the WWE one, too.
AJ has said that once his contract expires, he's retired.
Mm-hmm.
So that's coming up pretty soon. So, yeah.
But, like... Yeah. Here, get ready to fly one more time.
I am.
Yeah.
Yeah, but LA Knight ended up getting the win, which, I don't know. I thought AJ was going to win, but I guess taking LA Knight.
And that feud being at the same house was when Triple H threw Randy.
That's not confirmed, but it sure as hell looked the same. The same house that Randy Orton supposedly lived in that Triple H invaded. Like back in 2009. Yeah.
At this point, every wrestler should be in jail.
Oh, yeah.
You know, for the home invasions and the attempting to run him over with a car.
I mean, Teddy Hart's pretty good at that.
It's way past his jail time. And legit, yeah.
Sunny. Yeah, you know, but
I know you're not supposed to think about these.
No,
things.
But yeah, LA Knight won tonight or on this night, but they both have a match on SmackDown to determine the number one contender for Cody Rhodes' championship at Backlash. So I imagine AJ will probably get his win back for that,
right.
And face Cody at Backlash for the world title.
That's fair.
Yep,
I'll watch that.
Or for the undisputed WWE championship.
Okay, it's the WWF title.
It's the W. They need to drop the undisputed in there because it's the WWE championship. Let's be real here.
Mm.
Yeah. Okay. Next up, we had the triple threat match for the United States Championship. It was Logan Paul defending against Kevin Owens and Randy Orton. This match was very entertaining all the way through. Yeah, because like mainly because of Randy Orton and Kevin Owens teaming up on him constantly. And like he even like drove a KO even drove a golf cart to the ring and even offered to give Randy a lift down the ramp, you know?
And you could tell when he was speeding down the ramp, Randy's face was like, stop, stop, stop.
Yeah, he's like holding on for dear life. It's like, I just came back from a neck injury. I don't want to go back.
I don't want to tear my shoulder again.
You know what happens with golf carts in wrestling?
Kevin Owens got run over by one by Roman Reigns in the Thunderdome.
And Sammy Guevara's been hit by like 12 of them.
Oh, yeah. Yep. And you can thank Matt Hardy for that one.
Yeah.
Well, at least golf carts, they're not, you know, you can just pick them up and throw them, you know. Like, oh. They're really not.
They're not heavy at all. Yeah, like, yeah. If you've ever seen the Jackass movie where Johnny Knoxville went over a little hill with one and it flipped over and the entire top of the thing crunched.
Yeah. Oh. Didn't he like break his shoulder or something doing that?
No, I think he was perfectly fine. It just looked really bad. Like they were like running over to him like, are you okay? Are you okay? Are you okay? He's like, oh, that sucked.
Just concussed.
But yeah, like, I was really hoping that KO was going to pull this one out and win the U.S. title so that him and Sammy could celebrate in the ring together with their mid-card titles.
Yeah, a feel-good moment. Like
but, you know, it wasn't meant to be. And I guess we're only allowed one feel-good moment tonight. So, Logan Paul ended up retaining, still U.S. champion, but, you know.
I saw another TikTok on him today. It's like, so Logan Paul's a wrestler now? I can't fucking stand him, but he's so good.
Yeah. Yeah, it's one of those ones that you just hate to admit how good he is.
Yep. Mm-hmm. At least he's taking it seriously.
Yep. For sure. Okay. Next up, Bayley took on Io Sky for the WWE Women's Championship. Yeah, I should add, the 2024 Women's Royal Rumble winner, who is like not even... like barely included in any of the promotional activity or rallies or campaigns or anything for WrestleMania leading up to it. Not like barely involved in any of the promotional material. Wasn't at the kickoff conference, like nothing against Bianca Belair, but she didn't win the Royal Rumble. She was in a throwaway six women tag match this year.
All because Jade debuted.
Yeah. And if representation is the issue here, Bailey's Latina. So,
hello.
Know. Yeah.
It still baffles me that people don't fucking know that.
They think she's white?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sorry, I didn't notice until you guys brought it up around this card.
But
I don't see color.
Oh, come on. don't be that guy.
I don't see color.
But,
I can't tell the difference between a black guy, a Chinese guy, and a white guy.
Oh, you can't, I guess. with a name like Bailey, it's
understandable. Here come the keyboard war.
Yeah.
But her real name is Pamela Martinez. So.
Oh, okay. Yeah. That sounds pretty Spanish, yeah.
Yeah, or some kind of... I don't know exactly what kind of Latina she is, whether she's Mexican or...
Pamela's totally Latina.
Pamela, yeah. Yeah. Well, and Martinez.
Well, yeah, there's that too. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so this match was pretty damn good, I gotta say. Mm-hmm. And, like, great showing from both ladies. And, like, the fact that Io Shirai got to be, like, the second to last match of the entirety of WrestleMania is saying something. Cause I never thought she would have never gotten to those heights under Vince. Nope. I gotta say
she would have been pre-show.
Yeah. They're back when there were matches on the pre-show. Yeah.
And they did. And all those pre-matches never even made the DVDs.
Nope. Which means
that's why Austin Aries quit.
Yeah. Which meant they didn't get royalties from it. Yeah.
Because that Aries...
Well, I mean, no, they don't make DVDs anymore anyway, so nobody gets royalties
from
those. But
that Aries Pac...
Oh, the Cruiserweight title match?
That went like 10, 15 minutes on the pre-show. That was so good.
Yeah, I know. I know the one you're talking about.
So good.
And same with the Intercontinental title match between Baron Corbin and Dean Ambrose. Mm-hmm. That was on the pre-show.
Wow, that's gross.
I know. That's gross. great way to describe it. Yeah.
And then one year they also had the Usos and the Dudleys on the pre-show?
Yep. They had the Raw tag team title match. It was Matt Cardona or Zack Ryder and Curt Hawkins against...
Was that pre-show or was that first match?
That was pre-show for WrestleMania 35. Wow.
When all your best matches are on the pre-show.
Mm-hmm. Oh. But yeah, Bayley ended up getting the win. and like, good for her. Mm-hmm. Like after being excluded from all the promotional stuff for Mania, I'm glad they gave her her flowers and gave her her WrestleMania moment, winning the title in front of a sold out crowd, presumably. But we never know about those numbers. I'm not even gonna get into the whole total combined attendance bullshit.
God, yeah,
it's like 150,000.
When they inflated WrestleMania 3 to 93,000 or whatever,
yeah,
there was really only 60,
yeah,
67 or something. Well, like
there's now proof that they did that for All In mm-hmm. in London as well.
Oh, Punk took a shot on the WrestleMania panel.
Did he?
Yeah.
Wow.
They were standing talking about something, and he goes, "Did you see the numbers for this year? It's like 74,000." And then Punk looked at the guy and he's like, "Oh, you're gonna get a tattoo?" Shot at Ospreay.
Oh.
Remember, Ospreay got that 80,000.
Oh, did he?
Yeah.
Ooh.
And then the next day, they're like, "Oh, the numbers were inflated."
Yeah. After they swore they weren't.
Yeah.
Ugh. Gross. Ugh. Thanks, Tony.
Yeah.
But he still signed with AEW after that.
Yeah.
How about it?
Tony made him say the line, "You've been grinding on the boss's."
Oh, we'll get to that.
We'll get to that.
We'll get
yeah,
to that.
Trust me.
Yeah. We still need to finish. We still have yet to come now to the main event.
Da-da-da-da.
Cody Rhodes taking on Roman Reigns for the undisputed WWE Universal Championship.
Round two.
In a Bloodline rules match.
Round two. Fight.
Gotta say, as overbooked as this match was, I had such an energy. Like, as soon as the run-ins started happening, I was like, and here we go.
Yeah. Yep.
Like, for the most part, I called all of them in order. Mm-hmm. I wasn't expecting Seth Rollins in his Shield gear to show up.
No, that was different.
No, I was expecting Rollins to show up.
Yeah, but not in
but
his
not
Shield
in
gear.
Shield gear. That was a nice touch.
But that actually, I'll get into that afterwards. But, okay. Yeah, so like Solo Sikoa came out, did the whole Samoan spike and spear combination thing, which finished off Cody last year, but he ended up kicking out of that this year. And then and then Jey Uso came out, and then Jimmy Uso came out.
And then Jey speared Jimmy off the ramp.
Yeah, that was their WrestleMania moment. Yep. That was better than their match.
Yeah. Remember, Meltzer only gave their match 0.75 stars.
Meltzer's irrelevant. Okay? Yeah,
well, that's
fuck
charitable.
It. Yeah.
I love making fun of him online and people losing their minds. It's hilarious.
Well, Meltzer's, like, what does he do that makes his opinion so relevant?
I mean, fuck, if I could get paid to give wrestling fake star ratings, I'd do it too.
Sure, whatever. I don't care about anything that guy has to say. He always states his opinions like they're facts, and then when they don't pan out the way he said it, he goes, "Oh, plans must have changed." It's like, oh, you think.
That's yeah? right.
It seemed like a shoo-in when you were talking about it last week.
Or yesterday or this morning.
Yeah. Anyway. Yeah, then...
Then John.
Oh, and The Rock. Yeah, the John Cena. Yeah. Yeah.
Then he AA'd Roman. Then he AA'd Solo through the table.
Yeah.
Then the Dwayne came out.
Yeah, that's true.
That was a cool stare down.
Yeah, but yeah, that was like... What was that?
And then
that?
You realize it was 12 years
12
ago.
Years, yeah. 12 years since once, twice in a lifetime.
Yeah.
Yeah. Boy, John Cena has not aged well since then.
No.
I gotta say, like, and it's more than just the bald spot too. It's like his skin just looks, yeah.
But you can see him now. There's a bald spot.
Oh yeah, that's been pointed out forever. But whatever.
And The Rock looks better than he fucking did 12 years ago.
That's arguable. Well, either
he didn't sweat walking down the ramp this time.
Okay, that's an improvement, I suppose.
Normally, you get halfway down like.
But like the one run in that I didn't call, which I assumed was going to be Stone Cold Steve Austin, ended up being The Undertaker. And like
we all just went, "Wait, what?"
Yeah, after we heard the gong, we were just like, "Huh?
Yeah,
shit,
yeah. Like, why?"
But like, he didn't even put his gear on. He just showed up in a fucking toque and a hoodie.
It was Mark.
Yeah, it was Mark Calloway. And like, yeah, he was under the ring for this, presumably, and then he gets in there, choke slams Dwayne. The lights go out, and then they're both gone. But then there's fan footage from a cell phone of like Mark Calloway just like jogging through the audience afterwards to get out of there. So it kind of takes away a bit of the mystique.
Yeah.
At the same time, it's just
because it was an Undertaker. It was Mark Calloway.
At the same time, though, it's kind of funny.
Yeah, just Taker and security guards go.
Yeah, they're just like, but the way Taker was just like jogging like like this.
That's the wrestling gods are giving a hint.
Yeah. was like you can't really hide it in a crowd like that, I guess. Mm-hmm. But otherwise he would have to go back under the ring until everybody left the stadium and then
Well, if you're gonna commit to a bit,
he's not 40 anymore.
No, he's like 57, I think, around there.
Yeah.
But his body is so beaten.
Yeah,
and broken.
He's got a body of an 80.
Yeah, more or less. Now. But to be honest, I'm surprised that Callaway even did this with Vince not being there, because he was always such a Vince loyalist.
Oh yeah.
So
yeah.
But,
no, he was just having flashbacks when Rock made him do a spinneroonie off the air one time.
Oh, yeah.
It was the flashbacks. He had to get him back.
It's
for
his
it.
Revenge. Yeah. But, you know, 20 what?
Years later.
As much as it wasn't necessarily needed, I'm glad that The Undertaker got, like, some kind of closure on his career at WrestleMania in front of an actual crowd,
yeah.
not in the boneyard.
Oh, I mean, okay. at least Dwayne could have done is jumped.
Yeah, that's true. But you also gotta remember that these guys are like
they're old.
Yeah,
like they like wrestling. They've been wrestling for so long, and like they're in their 50s, and they move like 80-year-olds. So
mm-hmm.
yeah,
mm-hmm.
like I said before, I'm surprised that Dwayne was able to do a 45-minute match, mm-hmm. even though it was a tag match. It wasn't it wasn't. It was like it was just a 2-on-2.
It was a tornado tag.
Tornado tag, but
right.
Yeah.
So Cody and
Cody. Up. Yeah. And then Cody. Or but here's the thing. After all this commotion, Rollins had the chair in the ring, and Roman ended up getting the chair from Rollins. And instead of going after Cody with the chair, he turns to Rollins, seeing him in his Shield gear. And you could just like the look on his face. You can tell that he never got over the fact that Rollins turned on him and Dean in the Shield all those mm-hmm. years ago. So he took that his emotions got the better of him, and he decided to take out Rollins with the chair instead, just like he did 10 years prior. And Cody used that opportunity to hit 3 crossroads, I think, and finally finished off Roman, finished the story, dethroned the tribal chief, whatever euphemisms you want to use. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, Cody did it. He won the title that his dad never could. And the tribal chief was dethroned, and it was all because his emotions got the better of him. And how is that for long-term storytelling,
it
huh?
Is, it is, yeah.
But, yeah, he celebrated in the ring, gave his mom the belt, and, yeah. But then afterwards kind of did that whole thing where he brought Triple H and Bruce Pritchard out there. I was gonna say,
because the wrestlers coming out, putting him in on his shoulders, you know, and celebrating together and all
everyone
that,
Roman's beaten.
That's an old school, wrestling thing.
Yeah.
Okay. When Dusty won the ANWA World Title, there was pictures of all the faces in the dressing room pouring champagne on him and.
I thought it was cool that all the guys that Roman had beat that were still with the company came out to celebrate with him.
Right.
Yeah.
And like, it worked.
Obviously there was guys that were like Danielson, Edge, Claudio, they've all gone to AEW since then, so.
Right. So.
But they can't really be there. But
once they brought Triple H out, once he called, "I got a fake Triple H." Oh, shut up.
Well, Triple H didn't know he was going to do that. So Bruce Pritchard made me kind of go.
And then Pritchard. Like, yeah. You got to be fucking kidding me. Why?
Yeah.
Vince's avatar.
All I could picture while like Cody was shaking Triple H's hand was him just saying like, "I'm sorry for smashing your throne."
And then some guy on the cringy wrestling page went from smashing the throne to potentially smashing.
Well, I mean, okay.
I read that and I'm like, it's dumb.
Mm-hmm.
Ultimately, for me,
that would have been funny. I'm sorry for smashing.
Triple H could have been petty and buried Cody.
Yeah.
Right.
Because of that whole thing, but he didn't. So, you know.
That would have been a WrestleMania ending to do the hug and then just one more pedigree.
Yeah, but Triple H can't.
He can't.
He physically cannot. He would. If he even got him in the pedigree, I'm sure the adrenaline from doing that would probably send him into cardiac arrest. Would cause his pacemaker spike. Yeah, knowing that you have a machine installed in your heart that, like, if you get too excited, can you have sex? that just occurred to me.
Well, like, I was gonna say, maybe he's like, the doctor says to him, yeah, your sex life is over.
Yeah.
And then he thinks about who it is that he's
doing
it
with. I mean, Stephanie's not bad looking. And then,
but,
no.
But, okay.
Yeah, he's not deaf. That's the thing. He's
at the end of the day, with this main event, it was overbooked.
Way too overbooked.
Way overbooked.
But at the same time, it kind of called for it.
Yeah.
Well, like, okay, I can see the Usos, okay, mm-hmm. because the bloodline, they're all kind of part of it. I could see...
I guess John Cena and The Undertaker didn't really need to be there.
Yeah,
but...
I mean, once I heard, bathroom break. Like,
yeah, but also
this.
Roman has defended that belt against Cena twice.
Yeah. And like, yeah, Roman has been, well, and like Roman has been touted as the next John Cena for mm-hmm. how long, but.
And in every wrestling interview John does, John calls him the GOAT.
Yeah, but now, it's pretty obvious that Cody is now the next John Cena.
Mm-hmm.
Like Cody Rhodes now is what Vince tried to make Roman Reigns into. That, and it failed every time.
That's because he shoved him down our throats for 7 years.
Yep.
Until he comes back as a face.
Which
then
watch
Reigns just go through the roof.
But the ironic thing is that we wanted him to be a heel for so long, and then he became a heel, and he was a great heel.
Mm-hmm.
And then we loved him. Mm-hmm. It's like, that's the irony of the whole thing.
Yep.
Yeah, when he's like babyface Roman Reigns with his goatee and his blue contacts to make him look more likable, according to Vince, because he has brown eyes naturally. So yeah, but
wow.
Yeah.
Okay. Talking about a guy's eyes, like come on, like. Okay, you're really, really nitpicking.
No.
Oh. Like, the color of his eyes?
Well, all this shit just shows how truly insane Vince McMahon really was.
Really was.
And how out of touch he was with the whole thing.
See, I didn't even know that.
Yeah, and that's just, like, yeah. It's, so many things about this WrestleMania just made me say, like, wow, I'm so glad Vince is not here. Like,
mm-hmm.
yeah, because he would have, like, the first ever WrestleMania where he didn't have any involvement, and, like, that alone just kind of made it, like, more of a feel-good thing for me. Like, I know Pritchard is still there, I know Michael Hayes is still there, but whatever. Triple H is in charge of the whole thing,
mm-hmm.
and, like,
mm-hmm.
the guy knows how to book long-term stories that pay off.
That's right.
And he doesn't just do a whole, like, fuck you, fans. Did you see that? I just made them think that this would happen. And it didn't. Fuck you. I make the rules.
At the end of 2 days, WrestleMania 40, I believe it was.
Mm-hmm.
Horns up, horns down, horns in the middle.
I give it a horns up.
Yeah, me too.
I had a good time. You know what? Like, like, with all of us hanging out and, like, it just makes, like, if I wouldn't have had as much of a fun time if I was just sitting by myself watching it, but having everybody over for both nights and, like, just getting into it and, like, striking up conversation during the whole event, like, that's, that makes it more enjoyable overall to watch.
That,
and, like, the Sami Zayn moments and, like, and Cody having his moment and the Triple Threat U.S. title match, there are definitely, like, there's some highlights on this match of this card for sure. But yeah, like, I don't know. Like, I just, and Michael Cole just like signing the whole night off by saying, I love professional wrestling. Something I would never imagine Michael Cole of all people saying.
Never do.
Yeah.
Hunter's in his ear.
And it's a new era. And I truly like, they've said that line. It's so many times. It's a new era, but it's always just the same Vince shit. Now I actually feel for the first time in a very long time, yes, it is a new
time
era.
In 40 years.
Yeah.
If you really want to get down to brass tacks.
Yep.
Yeah. So for me, like, there was a lot of great matches, and I enjoyed both nights, but the main event, totally overbooked.
Okay. We can't disagree on that.
The results, a lot of these great matches, but a lot were very predictable. So I'm kind of horns in the middle, but leaning up.
Yeah, pointing towards the corner of the ceiling.
Right.
Where the ceiling and the wall meet.
Right. So yeah, overall. So before we kind of get on with tonight's discussion, topic. There were a couple other things that, you know, that that do involve the WWE and partners and other guilty associates and all that, that have kind of been making the rounds and capturing a lot of attention lately. And I guess the one that pops out the most is AEW airing the footage, the CM Punk, Jack Perry kerfuffle.
All because Punk went on a radio show and
Ari Emanuel's podcast. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
He asked what happened. He's like, I just choked someone a little bit.
Right. Yeah, you know, I didn't. I wasn't going to kill you. I was just going to cut you a little bit. I didn't punch him. I was just a little light choking, you know?
But was this a smart idea?
No.
Hell no.
AEW's part. Like, that seems to be...
That's Tony Khan's fucking ego.
Yeah. This was Tony Khan's coke-fueled ego just like, we got to get him back. Because of all the reports I've seen, the Young Bucks didn't want to do this.
Okay,
like, yeah. They were vehemently against it. And I'm pretty sure Jack Perry was too.
Right.
Like, yeah, like, I'm not saying that AEW right now is anywhere near what WCW was in the year 2000.
Okay.
But that was a very WCW 2000 move.
That was a very Russo move.
That was like, that was something that Vince Russo would have done in WCW in the year 2000.
Yeah, I don't see the end game of this. What does AEW get out of it? Because first of all,
well, it's
nothing.
And it's already taken off social media.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like they not to mention that they obviously muted the fans while they were airing the footage, because there's been fan footage like taken with cell phones in the arenas, and while they're watching the footage, and everyone started chanting CM Punk, CM Punk. So obviously this didn't have the effect, not only on the fan base for AEW that he was hoping for, but just it didn't pull in new viewers. If anything, you're driving away the ones you already have.
Right.
And like,
and it just, it makes you look weak. It
makes you look Jack second
Perry,
rate.
Yeah, yeah. It made Jack Perry look weak.
Yeah.
And it made Punk look strong.
It made the Bucks look weak.
Like, everything. Yeah. Everything. I can't think of any reason for AEW to have done this. It absolutely boggles the mind.
Did you see what CM Punk's response was to it?
That was good.
I don't know if he tweeted or if it was on his Instagram story, but he posted a picture somewhere of George Bush giving a thumbs up with a banner in the background that said "Mission Accomplished."
Oh, yes.
Like, if that is not the most appropriate response,
yes. Definitely.
It's like, so he's like, yeah, you sure showed him.
That's just it. I know. Punk comes out smelling like roses.
Yeah.
It
didn't make him look bad. Like, he didn't get punished within WWE for this.
Yeah.
All he said was he choked someone a little bit, and that's all he did.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, he shoved him once.
He put him in a bit of a headlock, and they shoved each other, and then they got... The funniest part was how, like, Malachi Black just strolled up all casually with a cup of coffee and then just, like, turned around and walked away as it was happening.
See nothing, hear nothing,
He noped out of there quick.
And I don't blame
And then Hook
him.
Was just standing around like, doo-doo-doo-doo.
Yeah, like, what do I do? Yeah.
And poor Chris Hero, though, is just walking with his head and his hands like, fuck.
Yeah, I feel bad for him out of most people, because it's like, what a way to make your AEW debut there, Chris Hero.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, the whole thing just came off as petty and sad, and like,
I feared for my life.
Yeah.
Trust me.
No, apparently it was after that. That's what, like, it was the conversation that he had with Punk after the fact that made him fear for his life.
Oh, okay.
But still, like,
Punk yelled at him.
Yeah, Punk yelled at him. It's just like, okay.
Honestly, because like, when I saw that footage, and you know, at the time, we're like, that's it. This is what Tony was fearful of his life for?
Well, it's like fucking, like, it was like Krusty the Clown when he saw that Itchy and Scratchy replacement. He's just like, what the hell was that?
Yeah, that's exactly what it was.
Yet they won't release the brawl out footage.
Yet. We might get to that.
I'd like to see Tony Khan you know, backstage, before he bought AEW, and he was just a ring crew guy or whatever.
Yeah.
And he sees some of the fights that went on between some of the knuckleheads in the territory days.
You mean Vince McMahon?
There were always skirmishes and scuffles where
at least Vince McMahon can say that he grew up into the business, whereas with Tony Khan, that was not the case.
Yeah. He was like, "Dad, buy me a wrestling."
Yeah. I can just imagine Tony Khan after seeing Paul Orndorff and Vader having that fight in the shower.
Yeah.
Okay. That's what I'm.
That's kind of, that's a fear what I'm for my of, fucking life.
Or Haku bear macing himself, like taking the mace from a cop and macing himself with it.
Or Haku anything.
Yeah, anything to do with Haku.
And there was
Haku just sitting in a chair. I'm afraid for my life.
And anything to do with Bruiser Brody
is another one. Yeah. Yeah. And like I said, there was skirmishes all the time between the guys in the backstage and the promoter. You know, like Bill Watts or Vern Gagne or like work it out amongst yourself.
Yeah.
No one's getting fired.
But
no,
like, you know, at the very least, like you'll never hear me do this most of the time. But if this happened in the WWE, Vince McMahon would have been in there yelling at everybody.
Everyone. Yeah.
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 Like
that would have been fine.
He would have been yelling at the popcorn guy.
Yeah.
You know, on the other side of the stage.
Yeah. He would have, the popcorn guy. The popcorn guy would have gotten fired.
Yeah.
Probably. But the point is, you're absolutely right.
And Triple H nowadays would do the exact same thing.
The same
like
thing.
Papa H would have just gotten in there and just been like, you there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Are you familiar with the old sitcom Cheers?
Yes.
Okay. You remember Ernie Pantuso, the coach?
Not specifically.
Woody replaced him.
Oh, yeah.
Woody Harrelson. Okay. He was, and I immediately thought of this, all of this stuff about the backstage skirmishes and all that. I think Coach Pantuso, his idea for all this stuff blowing over whenever his players would get into a fight or whatever, he had a way of putting an end
dealing
to this,
with it
where the two guys, okay, so the two guys that got in the fight, you have to stand arm in arm beside one another, like over each other's, their arms around each other's shoulder. And then you had to sing Home on the Range.
Home on the Range.
You just got into a fight with him, but if you can still hate a guy after singing Home on the Range together.
Yeah, then it's real hate.
Then it's real hate, and one of you guys have to go.
Yeah.
And I'm like, man, that's fucking wisdom right there, man.
Yeah.
And then maybe that's what Punk and Perry needed, a little bit of Pantuso.
Well, like CM Punk said himself about Jack Perry, if you have a problem with Jack Perry, then you're the problem.
But
like we spent as much as we like just ragging on CM Punk for shit.
Mm-hmm.
He was definitely not necessarily in the wrong. He was not shown up at all here. Even if he did throw the first punch, of course.
He did shove a dude.
He was wrong for that. Yeah. But yeah, he made the first move. But so maybe the firing was somewhat justified. But
could you imagine if that match with Joe wouldn't have happened?
Yeah. That would have been pretty bad. But
to fire your top guy over that is crazy. Absolutely crazy.
Yeah.
Over a little shove.
Yeah, I thought, I assumed there was going to be punches and stuff and items were going to be
hair
thrown.
Hair pulling and...
Yeah.
Yeah, your mother wears army boots.
Your mother was a hamster and your father smells of elderberries.
That's right.
I wave my private parts at your aunties.
And was it one of you guys that showed me the meme of Forbes?
Forbes like did their AEW results.
Right.
Where they actually showed CM Punk defeated Jack Perry.
in a fight backstage.
So yeah. Good. And this is Forbes magazine, a magazine dedicated to the richest people on planet Earth, took a jab at AEW.
Right. I was explaining to Mrs. Snowy this whole thing. And she's like, okay, isn't Forbes like for the Rich Mucky Bucks?
It's the Billionaire magazine. Yeah,
they,
yeah.
Okay, why are they talking about wrestling? And I'm honestly
because
like,
it's that fucking embarrassing.
I honestly like, don't know.
Because it was another billionaire fucking... They were taking jabs at another billionaire,
I guess,
essentially.
Yeah, I guess.
Like,
so.
Tony Khan's dad was probably just, like, the butt of a lot of jokes in the billionaire community that day.
Oh, jeez. Just, or just for getting into the business altogether.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Cause, like, it's... Yeah, I imagine like CM Punk and Triple H were probably on the phone with each other after that segment aired, and they were just like, "Did you see that?" Yeah. Like Triple H was probably just like, "Nah, you're good. It's fine."
Yeah, like I would think enough.
He called him
because yeah. I know like Punk and Triple H didn't like each other.
They didn't. No, they didn't get along with each other when Punk was like going through his pipe bomb phase there.
Right.
But, yeah. I imagine they're cool with each other now.
Yep. Well, yeah, like time heals all wounds, perhaps.
Mostly. If both sides can take accountability for their actions and, like, reconcile and agree to disagree, then...
And if you can be professional.
Yeah, but, you know, sometimes that's not the case, but it seems as though Punk has maybe finally... taken accountability for his actions and moved on, and like I don't want to put the cart before the horse here, but like but you know, maybe going back to WWE where his behavior is somewhat moderated was good for him.
Mm-hmm, like, mm-hmm. Yeah, I think we said that on the show before too, like if this is his fault and he's the quote-unquote cancer of the dressing room, he's not going to be able to do that in the WWE.
Not a chance. Yeah, like I understand that there's people there that don't like him, but at the same time, you don't like all your coworkers. I've had coworkers and even bosses who I just disagreed with about everything.
So, yeah.
Security.
But that boss, yeah, but the boss that I disagree with about everything, he's not my boss anymore.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. He doesn't even work for the company.
It would have been funny if you were his boss now.
Oh, for a period I technically was, but I'm not going to get into that on here.
Hey, you're fired.
I would just put him through the same shit that he put me through.
that totally makes sense.
Yeah. But no, I never got to that point. But again, I'm not going to get into it on the air. Yeah.
There we go. Okay, so that was round one.
Yeah.
Okay. Round two.
And then immediately after that segment aired,
Round two, and I think I know what you're getting.
Willie Ospreay just,
Ospreay and Triple H kind of went back and forth. Well, and this is where the professionalism...
This was not necessary at all. Like, they could have just ignored it.
Right.
And, like...
Like, all Hunter said was something about...
If you're afraid of the grind that WWE does, then I'm glad I didn't get you.
Yeah.
Like...
Right.
Yeah, like Will Ospreay took the AEW gig because he could still live in England and go back and see his family. Mm-hmm. He wouldn't have to work all week, like essentially is
right.
what he was getting at.
Right. But he also retorted with, "I take gigs throughout the world."
Yeah, to insist that Will Ospreay does not know the grind is nuts.
It's absolutely ridiculous.
Yeah. Yeah. So Triple H might have been in the wrong for that. Like, granted, all it really was that Ospreay didn't want to work the WWE schedule. He wanted to take his own bookings on his own merit and, like, essentially be his own boss, well, to a certain extent.
And, like, he never wanted to join WWE in the first place.
No, it's because the main thing that he wanted, I remember reading years ago, the main reason he didn't want to join WWE was because they made them work on Christmas, and he just didn't stand for that.
Yep.
So, yeah.
Yeah. And I thought it was when he said that, okay, like when Triple H accused him of not being, you know,
not wanting to do the grind.
I immediately thought,
Are you? Yeah, it's like Will Ospreay's not exactly a spring chicken either. Like,
yeah.
No.
Yeah. Yeah. But I can kind of remember some of your friends' their trips.
Yeah.
You know, signing on to WCW, and why did they do that?
Lighter schedule, more pay.
More money, lighter schedule. mm-hmm. and all that. Yeah.
And creative control.
Yeah. Like,
yeah.
What, and, which I'm sure Ospreay's going to get that as well.
And yeah, and who took, I also remember a certain curtain call incident right before they left, and who took the brunt of that?
Who took the brunt of that?
Yeah. Who was it? Was it, mm-hmm. it wasn't Kevin. It wasn't Scott. No. It sure as hell wasn't Sean.
No,
it was Paul.
Which I thought that was bullshit as well.
Oh, I did too. Yeah. It's like, Sean's the champion, can't punish him. It's like, but you can. Like,
yeah, you could. Yeah.
Like back then, how if a
make
champion...
Make him pay for his own meals for like 6 months.
Yeah. Or back then, when a champion would attack someone, take the belt off him.
Yeah. Yep. But... at the same time, back then, I guess, I don't know. I don't know what the backstage environment was like in WWF back then, so I really don't know. They had already invested all this time into Shawn Michaels, so maybe Triple H was just, mm-hmm. Vince McMahon was just like, well, I don't want to punish him, so you got to take it all, bud.
Yeah, why punish anyone?
Yeah.
Honestly.
It was like they're saying bye to their friends.
It was at a house show, and I understand they broke kayfabe, but which was like big no-no back then, but...
They probably weren't
depending on someone back in the mid-90s having a camera in the arena like everybody does nowadays.
Right. Yeah.
Like, whoever snuck that in there, I give them applause for that.
Well, but, Hunter met them.
The person with the handicam?
Yeah, they invited them to an episode of Raw one time.
Oh.
And backstage, and he met everybody.
Like a no hard feelings type thing? Yeah. Like, sorry for getting you punished.
I find that video after it's like Hunter and Sean walk up to him like, pretending to be all pissed off. It's really good. Because at first the guy's like, oh, fuck.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think Ospreay. I'm always going to do that. I think...
He's not bug repellent.
His response was of... yeah, the only reason why you got your job is because you were grinding the boss's
daughter.
it's like
bruv.
It's kind of lame, you know?
Yeah,
like, and then there's also things I've read about that, too. That. It's there was speculations that Tony made him say that, too.
Nothing came about that, either. You know, I think someone in AEW needs to be hired... just to keep the boss in check. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like someone from, one of his dad's friends has to say, look, your son's an idiot. Your son's a clown.
Someone from the Jacksonville Jaguars.
hire someone to just kind of hang out with your son. And when he does, when he's about to do something stupid, you know, just slap him in the back of the head.
Or hire a head of creative.
there you go. Yeah.
I heard Vince McMahon's looking for a job.
Speaking of, did you see what Meltzer posted today?
Oh, yeah, that God. He thinks Vince is going to start another wrestling promotion?
Yep.
Yeah, I'll be sure to not watch that. I'll watch the first episode strictly out of curiosity.
Yeah.
I'll download it illegally so he doesn't get the ratings point.
And we'll give every match 0.2 stars.
Yeah. Every match is going to be a gimmick match.
Speaking of stars, the highest star-rated match of WrestleMania was Roman and Cody, of course, but it was 4.75.
Yeah.
Because it wasn't in the Tokyo Dome.
What the link isn't in the same echelon as the Tokyo Dome? Like, need I remind you that champions play on that field? Like, I'm no football fan, but I know the Philadelphia Eagles are champions, okay? Champions play on this field.
Damn it.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. I don't know. I haven't. When I was a kid, all four major sports, all four major leagues, I was right in there. I knew every team. I knew every major player. I knew most of the coaches.
I know.
All four sports, but now.
I know a lot of the teams. I just don't know any of the players.
Like, yeah. That's kind of tough, too.
And yeah. Now,
so many teams have moved around in the last couple years. I'm kind of losing track of all that, but I know.
If you've never seen the movie Basketball, they poke fun about that.
Actually,
it's like the Jazz moved to Salt Lake City where they don't allow music.
Well, actually, the Arizona Coyotes are moving to
Utah.
Oh, really?
To Salt Lake City. Yeah,
interesting.
The Utah Coyotes.
You mean the Winnipeg Jets?
Yes. Yes, and you watch.
Mm-hmm.
Winnipeg's going to go all the way this year, win the Cup. 2 years from now, we're not even going to have a team.
Yeah.
2 years from now, I'll give it one at this point.
Well,
yeah,
wouldn't that be something?
Attendance, well, yeah, like 12 years ago, it was just like, oh my God, they're back.
They're back. Yeah, every game was sold out, but they said
the one game that I went to in 2020 was full as fuck, but and then the world shut down a month later.
Right.
It's all my fault.
That's right. And they said right from the start, okay, Winnipeg, you have your Jets back. Every game has to be a sellout in order for it to work in this market.
So it's like a parent giving their child a puppy. It's like, no, make sure you clean up after him.
That's right. That's exactly good analogy. Yeah. That's exactly what that is.
You're responsible for him.
And the Winnipeg's not taking care of their puppy.
No, they did for a little while,
but then they got bored. I guess they discovered video games.
Yeah, after it grew up into a dog.
That's right. All of a sudden, it's just not. But that's a whole other.
Yeah, this isn't Hockey Night in Canada. That's already trademarked somewhere else.
Yeah, but any sports radio shows, podcasts, or whatever, you're looking for a guest to talk about all this shit, you know how to you know where to find me.
Yep,
I've been more than happy to sit down and straighten shit out.
Snowy shows up at a hockey podcast. They're just an hour in. They're like, he's still going.
Yeah,
he's still yelling.
Yeah,
we told him to stop swearing four times.
Yeah, every time he swears, we have to pause for 30 seconds just so we have time to edit.
The CRTC shut us down tomorrow.
The podcast. We stopped the camera 30 minutes ago.
That's right. Remember still we going. Said goodnight? You're still going, yeah.
Speaking of goodnight.
In the meantime, in between time.
But let's kind of switch gears here to keep me on the rails, shall we say.
Why?
This is an all negative. It just feels weird that we just did like negative segments about AEW and positive segments about the WWE.
Normally it's the other way around.
Oh, wow.
The reason I said, damn it.
What's up?
Matt Cardona is no longer going to be at WPW at the end of the month.
Aww.
He tore his pec.
Damn it.
Oh, shit. You said, damn it. Tickets anyway.
Anytime someone says damn it the way you did, I think of Homer Simpson when he was sleeping and he hits his head on the pew. Damn it!
I don't know. When these local shows, they sell out, we didn't get tickets. They had people that we wanted to see, and then they say, oh, he's not going to make it.
Well,
but the main event was Cardona Joshua.
For an injury, though, that's
I don't wish it on anyone, but I'm just...
But when they that one where they promised Steph DeLander and she didn't show up.
Visa
issues? Yep. Okay, well, that's out of her control, too.
I don't want ill will on anyone, but as a fan... That's not going to be there.
So, like when they promised Sabu for the Indy Hall of Fame, and he sat downstairs because he didn't want to come up the elevator.
He just didn't feel like it. What a guy! You know, if WPW had a headlined event between Jody Threat and Charlie Evans, I would go to that. Saying. Maybe Alley Cat shows up too.
Yeah. Triple Threat.
Yeah.
There we go.
Yeah, man. And Steph DeLander too. Why the fuck not?
just add a sprinkle of Sawyer Wreck.
Yeah. What's Tennille Dashwood doing these days?
Sign me up.
Because the main event of the show was supposed to be Cardona, Josh Alexander.
Yeah.
So now they're
right.
Trying to find a replacement for Cardona.
Oh, shit.
Oh, hopefully. I hope it's a surprise.
I'm excited to see Jody Threat again.
Yeah.
I'm gonna hang out with her again. It's going to be fun.
Nice. Oh, yeah. That's cool. That's right. You went to the hardcore show with her. Or did you go to Comeback Kid with her?
Yeah. Her and Effie. Dustin Gamache. Guys, my knee's fucked. I can't do this anymore. Okay, hold my stuff then. Okay. So I had her purse and her shit, and I had all the Effie shit.
As you say, my knee's fucked. They're like, so are ours. We're professional wrestlers.
Yeah, of course our knees are fucked.
You don't think we've torn an ACL or two?
And then fucking Effie and Jody are stage diving all night.
Yeah, that's a visual I will never forget. That was so cool.
And then
Jody.
At the bar.
Did they do moonsaults or corkscrew dives off the stage?
And then at the bar, I bought a round for... Us, Jody and Effie, and then Effie bought around, and then Jody bought around, and then you bought around. It was a good night.
It was
a very good night. Yeah, that was Comeback Kid and Cancer Bats. That was fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wish I could have been there, but
it was a good time.
Yep. Hardcore shows and wrestling shows seem to sell out so fast in this fucking city.
Right? It's like when Comeback
and Propagandi shows too.
It's like when Comeback Kid was here a few weeks ago. I got as close as I got because it's a Comeback Kid show. I got drop kicked like 80 times.
Uh-huh.
It was great.
Yeah. That was at the park?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, and if there's like Comeback Kid, like that is a wrestler's name.
Yeah, the Comeback Kid.
Yeah, like he doesn't even need like Comeback Kid John Smith or anything. Just CBK, you know.
They used to call me Kid Gorgeous and then Kid Presentable and then finally Kid Mo.
So let's kind of switch gears here.
Yeah, yeah.
Into our discussion.
Before we go into another side quest.
Yeah, into our turnbuckle talk. And we thought, okay, it's Mania season. Mm-hmm. Let's maybe make the talk this time round.
Or at least
WrestleMania, you know,
yep.
Relevant.
What is, yep.
Yeah, so we...
I came up with this one.
Yeah, yeah. We
usually it's Snowy that comes up with the turnbuckle talk ideas.
Yeah, yeah. But sometimes, you know, like there's an expression, you know, sometimes the obvious is the best,
mm-hmm.
you know. And that's the case with this time, you know. This discussion is the obvious one, but I think it's the best one, and that was...
It's relevant, yeah. It's yeah. What are our favorite and least favorite WrestleManias, and why?
And why, okay.
That's the important part, and why.
Let's, how are we going to do this?
Well, mm-hmm. I don't know, do you want me to start?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, well, I grew up in the Attitude Era, and my first WrestleMania... This isn't my favorite, I gotta say, but my first WrestleMania that I ever saw was WrestleMania 14, where Stone Cold won the world title for the first time. But my favorite WrestleMania of all time was probably WrestleMania X7, which is its official name. It's not WrestleMania 17, it's WrestleMania X7.
Okay.
Because, you know, it was the early 2000s. Everything had to be extreme.
We'll get this over with now, for mine is also 17.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, what happened at WrestleMania?
Well, not only was this the first WrestleMania since the demise of WCW, so it had that going for it. There was a different aura about it, too. Not only that, but this was the WrestleMania that the headlining match was The Rock versus Stone Cold Steve Austin for the WWF Championship, and it still was the WWF at the time. So mm-hmm. technically, I am correct. And this was the one where Stone Cold ended up turning heel and shaking hands with Vince McMahon. And, like, not only I gotta say, the build to this match was absolutely phenomenal, even though the music package for it was My Way by Limp Bizkit. But it was perfect.
Every time I hear that song, I think of that fucking promo.
Yeah, I just think of, like, Stone Cold just being like, I need to beat you, Rock, no matter what. and then
Austin shaking Vince's hand, JR, oh, son of a bitch.
Yeah, or he shook his hand. And, you know, JR's call when Austin McMahon shook hands is just like, Austin shaking hands with the devil himself. Or Austin just made a deal with the devil.
Yeah.
And not only that, this was TLC. This is the first.
TLC 2.
TLC 2, yeah.
Yeah, TLC 2.
Yeah, this was... The tables, ladders, and chair match between Edge and Christian, the Hardy Boys, and the Dudley Boys.
Right.
And it was... The term show stealer does not do it mm-hmm. justice. Mm-hmm. It was...
I could see that.
It was, like... Going back and watching it now, that match was so ahead of its time.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it would hold up nowadays, I'd say. In terms of, like, riskiness and just the moves and crowd reactions, like, it would definitely hold up in today's wrestling landscape.
Pulled up the match card.
Oh, have you?
Okay.
Should we go over this real quick?
Quick, yeah.
There was a Sunday Night Heat match before WrestleMania.
Oh, yeah.
It was Just Incredible and X-Pac, who defeated Steve Blackman and Grandmaster Sexay in 2 minutes and 46 seconds.
Oh.
Then we had Jericho...
And Regal
for the Intercontinental title, which was 7 minutes and 8 seconds. Then we had Taz, Bradshaw, and Farouk defeat Right to Censor in 3 minutes and 52 seconds.
I forgot about the Right to Censor.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
Then we had that hardcore match, Kane, Big Show, Raven.
Oh, the Triple Threat hardcore match. Yeah, the one that almost, like, where they almost cut the feed to the show.
Yeah.
Yeah, because they were driving a golf cart around backstage, and they came within millimeters of severing this giant cable that was the cable which was the cable that like sent the feed of the show to the pay-per-view providers.
That's the one where Kane hit the pillar.
Yes. And the one where he jumped down from the stage with his leg drop and won the match.
Yep.
Yeah.
And when he threw Raven through the window.
Memory of any of this.
Oh, bud. like.
But I wasn't really watching WWF.
Yeah, in 2001. Yeah. But after learning that like Raven came like this close to cutting the pay-per-view feed, like severing the cable, never mind, like wouldn't have even been a temporary outage. It would have been like, well, that's done. Refunds for everyone. Yeah.
Wow.
After learning that, I was like, I got like that. The hairs on the back of my neck stood up after hearing that and learning that. I was like, oh shit. And then when you watch it back and seeing how close he came, it was like, wow.
Okay. Okay. So what were the other ones?
He won that match in 9 minutes and 17 seconds. Yeah. Kane did.
Yeah.
Eddie Guerrero beat Test for the European title.
That was a throwaway. That was kind of a sleeper match, I think.
Yeah, it was 8 minutes, 8.5 minutes.
Yeah.
Kurt Angle defeated Chris Benoit in 14 minutes.
Wow.
I'm sure that was a snoozer, eh, Meltzer?
Oh, yeah. I'm sure that one, yeah.
2 stars.
What?
No, I don't know the star rating.
Okay. I was going to say, like.
But it's a Kurt Angle match. He's never had a 5-star. He's
never had a 5-star
match. That's true. Well, not from Meltzer. Fuck. Yeah. But, like. Even given the circumstances of what happened with Chris Benoit, like those two never put on a bad match ever.
Right. Right. I always knew right from the start.
Was that the one? Was this the one where Chris Benoit stole his medals?
I think so.
And kept them in his tights.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Then we had China defeat Ivory for the women's championship in 2 minutes and 39 seconds.
And this was after China had already been Intercontinental Champion. Keep in mind.
Yep. Shane McMahon, Shane and Vince.
Yeah, the Shane versus Vince street fight.
Where
Linda got the biggest pop of the night from standing up. Because she was comatose, yeah. Because,
14 minutes and 12 seconds.
That was that coast-to-coast that Shane hit in that match, though, was something else.
So good.
Yeah.
Then TLC 2.
Yep.
15 minutes, 47. Iron Sheik won the Battle Royal.
Oh, the gimmick Battle Royal.
Yeah. Oh, there was that. That was that mania.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I remember on commentary when Sheik was coming down to the ring, Bobby Heenan was like, "By the time Sheik gets to the ring, it's going to be WrestleMania 38." And well, we just had WrestleMania 40,
and they didn't have the Sheik at 38.
Well, didn't he die by that time?
No,
he was.
No, he's still alive.
Yeah. Okay.
And didn't Sheik win that because he was the only one that couldn't?
He couldn't physically be thrown over the top rope.
Wow. He last eliminated Hillbilly Jim, who's still talking.
Jesus.
Oh, yeah, still giving his Hall of Fame speech. Yeah.
Yep. Then Undertaker defeated Triple H.
Oh, yeah.
In that match where the only time he used a fake sledgehammer, he had the stick poked through and cut Taker anyway.
Oh, yeah. Was that the one where
the
they...
last ride?
Was that the one where they knocked out the referee and he laid still for, like, pretty much 15 minutes?
Yep.
Yeah, okay. Mike Chioda doing his job.
Yep. And then, of course, Austin Rock.
Yeah.
No DQ, half an hour.
Yeah. Well, it was only announced as a no DQ match right before the match. I remember that, too. Yeah, that's my favorite WrestleMania of all time.
Okay.
My least favorite WrestleMania of all time. This was significantly harder to decide. I got to say, probably WrestleMania 34. Which was headlined by one of many Brock Lesnar versus Roman Reigns matches for the Universal title.
Yeah.
This was this match was basically just Brock Lesnar hitting him with like multiple F5s, but he just kept kicking out. And you know what? Like the reason why it's my least favorite WrestleMania is because it had one of the matches that I was looking forward to the most. And that was AJ Styles versus Shinsuke Nakamura for the WWE Championship. And it under-delivered, and I guarantee you it was because Vince told them before to tone it down to not show up Lesnar and Reigns.
Right,
yeah.
Right. Like he did with Wendy Richter.
Yep.
You know, he fired Richter because her popularity was starting to...
And she didn't get...
To hit Hogan's.
Yep. And she didn't want... And she wanted to get the paid the same, and he fired her instead.
And he fired her. That was the very first screw job.
Yep. Yep. Yeah, she lost to, like, what was it, the Black Widow, which ended up being Fabulous Moolah. Yeah.
Yeah, that was a real thing.
Yeah, but, like, yeah, that after seeing their match, like, not even, like, I think it was, like, 2 years prior to that, or 3 years prior to that at Wrestle Kingdom, I was like, okay, Nakamura and Styles, like, at WrestleMania, let's fucking do it. Like, give me that again. But that is not what we got. We got a boring, slow-paced match between two guys that I know can do better.
Mm-hmm. And now, sorry, we were bashing AEW a lot this episode, but imagine those two guys going and at it in an AEW event.
Yeah, I could see it.
That would have been a hell of a lot better.
Yeah, well, AJ Styles came pretty close to signing with AEW in 2019, and he was even going to be on the debut episode of Dynamite. But WWE swooped in and offered him a shit ton of money for a 3-year contract, and he signed it. So, yeah, money talks.
At the end of the day.
But when you're that late in your career and you're like, you're a family man, you got 4 kids, it's like,
right,
that kind of does take precedence.
Yeah. And Tony probably would have been like, we want spiral taps.
Yeah.
When AJ has said himself he doesn't know how to do them anymore.
Yeah, like AJ even said in that recent interview where he said, like, after his current WWE contract expires, he's done.
Yep.
He even said, like, my mind is willing to do it, but my body tells me every morning, no, you can't do this anymore. Mm-hmm. Like, he's in his late 40s. He's done so many
everything
amazing things in his career, and he doesn't really owe us anything. So
that's right.
Yep.
That's right. Yeah. What about you with your worst Mania there, dude?
27.
Oh, yeah. Was that Miz versus Cena? Yeah.
When Miz doesn't remember half of it because he got concussed.
Yeah, because he got concussed because they fought out onto the floor and it was a count out finish.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then The Rock got involved.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then it looked like The Rock won.
Yeah. And then, then the anonymous Raw general manager restarted the match.
Yeah.
The one when the, yeah. When it was people reading from a laptop, I don't know if you remember that. Yeah, the nobody knew who the Raw general manager was, and like every it was just a laptop that was set up at ringside. Yeah,
and he would text in, and they would put the sound of the text over the PA.
It was like the lights would blink. Yeah,
it actually kind of worked.
Yeah, but then it was revealed to be Hornswoggle.
Yeah,
well, the payoff. Yeah.
Remember,
yeah,
this card also had Snooki.
Oh, yeah, it was Snooki and John Morrison.
Okay.
Snooki, John Morrison, and Trish against Ziggler and Laycool.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
And also Michael Cole versus Jerry Lawler.
Oh, yeah.
The best part of that feud was when Lawler had Michael Cole by the tie through the Michael Cole.
Oh, through the coal mine.
Yes.
Yeah.
And was just pulling him head first.
Yeah.
That was the best part.
When Vince turned Michael Cole heel, and it became very evident that Michael Cole at that time was just a mouthpiece for Vince McMahon's opinions.
Yep.
Yeah.
This card also had Cody Rhodes' first WrestleMania match against Mysterio.
Was it good?
Wasn't bad.
Okay. Was it Cody Rhodes or Stardust?
It was Cody Rhodes' broken nose.
Oh.
Cody Rhodes.
Okay.
Dashing, so
like
Cody Rhodes.
Phantom of the Opera Cody Rhodes. Okay.
Also, Edge defeated Del Rio for the world title. Oh, retained it. Was that his last match?
That was Edge's last match before he retired.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And he retained the world title. Yeah.
Also had Kane, Big Show, Kofi Kingston, and Santino Marella defeat the Core.
Oh, I remember the Core. That was when the Nexus, the guys from the Nexus, when they moved to SmackDown, when CM Punk took over the Nexus. Yeah, it was the Core with 2 R's.
Because we're cool.
Yeah, because you know.
Okay.
Also, Randy Orton and Punk, which wasn't terrible.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that one.
And then the best match on the whole card, Taker Triple
H. Well, yeah, that was their second last match together.
Yeah, that was
the their one. Hell in a Cell match?
No.
No? Oh, no, the 28.
That was the no DQ.
28 was the Hell in a Cell match with Shawn Michaels as the guest referee. Yep. And even with that, Triple H still couldn't beat Undertaker. Nope.
That was the one where Taker had to get stretchered out because he couldn't walk after.
Oh, right. Yeah, that was when he started falling apart.
Yeah.
I think this is just a coincidence because it's been a long last couple days. I did Radioactive Metal last night and all that, and it's been kind of a long day, and I'm starting to get a pain right here
in your frontal lobe.
And I think it's just a coincidence, but it could be these talk of these bad WrestleMania. I'm starting to get a headache.
Yeah.
Here.
Well, there are some bad WrestleManias. Like WrestleMania 15 was pretty piss poor. WrestleMania 16 was headlined by the, or sorry, not WrestleMania 16, WrestleMania 2000.
Oh, okay.
Because, you know, it was the year 2000. Yeah, WrestleMania 2000, which was headlined by, oh, what was that? It was Big Show, Triple H, The Rock, and Mick Foley with a McMahon in every corner.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thankfully, we will never see that ever again.
Ever again. Yeah. Yeah. I've got a worst one that you guys might not be, might not have thought.
Okay.
But WrestleMania 9.
Oh, my God.
Jim Ross's debut at
the Togamania.
Togamania.
Yeah.
Togamania.
The very first thing I saw, and I had actually ordered this, okay, because Kurt Hennig was in the WWF.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and a big fan of Mr. Perfect and,
yeah.
And all that. So I actually ordered this one. First thing I saw, and I had no idea because there was no internet. I didn't read the sheets.
You thought he was still with WCW?
I didn't know Ross had made the jump and all that. And to see him on the WWF.
Wearing a toga.
In a fucking toga.
Yeah, this was the one at Caesar's Palace. Right?
Oh, at
yeah.
Caesar's Palace. Yes, yes. And of course,
the whole thing had to be themed after,
and of course Bobby Heenan comes out backwards on a camel, and the card was absolutely atrocious. Yeah,
this was Undertaker versus Giant Gonzalez was on that one, I think.
I think that was one of the matches.
Yeah,
and but everything.
Undertaker won by DQ, which this was before they were acknowledging the streak. So, like, if it wasn't for that DQ win for him, it probably the streak never would have been a thing.
Right.
But it was still a damn awful match. But you know, I know what you're going to get at the main event.
And the main event, when Bret Hart
lost.
You know, the best. Sorry, he was. No, I'm not even apologizing for this. Bret Hart was the best WWF champion since Bruno.
Yeah.
Okay. Like, for sure. At least for my
not in terms of like length of reign, obviously, like in terms of like quality,
matches, interest,
promo work,
it's everything, and to see him lose to Hogan or to see him first of all
lose to Yokozuna,
fine, I can live with that, but then the Hulk. Big Hulkster Hulk has to come down.
Make his big return.
Hulk Hogan cashed in his money return. In the bank briefcase.
And to see Hart, you know, give
courage.
Go get him, Hulk. And then like 20 seconds later, you know,
Hulk beats Yoko.
Hogan wins the title.
Yeah.
Again. And I think the reason why Hart had said, Hogan, go ahead, because he was going to get his rematch at SummerSlam against Hogan.
But that never happened.
And that never happened because, well,
that doesn't work for me, brother.
That doesn't work for me, brother. That's right. So,
He dropped it back to Yokozuna at King of the Ring, I think.
Yeah.
A couple months later.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then Hart won it back from Yoko in.
Probably at SummerSlam.
Wasn't it WrestleMania 10?
No, WrestleMania. Or maybe it might have been. Yeah, because like WrestleMania 10 was bookended with Bret Hart.
Yeah, it started with Bret and Owen.
Yeah, and then Owen won that. And then later in the night, it was
Bret and Yoko.
Yeah, Bret and Yoko. And then it ended with him being like hoisted on people's shoulders, and Owen was standing at the entranceway just like shaking his head.
Yep.
Yeah.
You guys made my last part very easy.
Yeah.
Because my favorite or my best 10. WrestleMania was 10, just for that amazing match between the Hearts.
Yeah, and that whole through line through the entire show of the being bookended with Owen and Bret.
The Hart winning, you know, the title.
Oh.
And it was I think it was the first ladder match.
Yep.
And I don't like either of these two guys.
No?
But Ramon and Michaels tore it up.
Yeah, I don't know if it was the first ever, but I think it was the first in first televised one in WWE.
Well, whichever it was, I don't remember now. This was a hell of a long time ago.
I will say that their ladder match at SummerSlam that year was better than the one at WrestleMania. But the WrestleMania one is iconic because it was like the first one. So,
So, yeah, nine, like they really improved.
Oh, yeah. Like
from one to the other in 1 year.
No pun intended, but they improved tenfold.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
WrestleMania
That's right.
X.
Yeah. Holy jeez. Yeah. And of course, WrestleMania 9, Hogan, like seeing Hogan come out and his eye is, it looked like, you know, someone whapped him with a baseball bat or something. Like, what the hell happened to Hogan backstage?
Probably got in a kerfuffle with someone.
There has been, yes,
Bret Hart probably punched.
So many rumors, though, that, you know, Randy Savage punched him in the eye.
I see it. I can see it happening.
You know, almost right before.
What did you do? You looked at Elizabeth.
That apparently that was the thing, because they were going through their marital problems.
Oh, yeah.
And she moved in with the Hogans, because I guess she was friends with Linda.
Yeah.
And Savage had enough of Hogan shit and did what everybody ever wanted to do in the wrestling business, and that's punch
Hulk
Hogan.
Hogan in the face. Yeah.
Yeah, got to give it to Nails as well. Everyone wanted to take a round out of Vince McMahon, and yeah, mm-hmm. I think Bret Hart schmucked him once too, and spit on him
after the screw job.
Yeah.
Well, after the screw job, the thing I applaud Bret Hart the most for is that, like, he punched Vince McMahon in the face, and then afterwards he went into the locker room, went up to Shawn Michaels, and just shook his hand and said thanks for the match and walked out. Because Shawn Michaels was a pawn in that whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well. Oh. So that
concludes that WrestleMania season.
So we're gonna bring this crazy train in to the station. How can people get a hold of us?
They can get a hold of us on Instagram at Wrestling Night in Canada, or on Facebook at facebook.com/WrestlingNightInCanada.
And of course, Wrestling Night in Canada is a proud members of the Shining Wizards Network, shiningwizardsnetwork.com. If you haven't had enough of your cool Uncle Snowy's yammering and all that, you might want to check out Radioactive Metal, where I sit down with my cool co-host Aaron and we talk everything that's going on in the wonderful world of pro wrestling. In the meantime,
you mean heavy metal?
Yeah, heavy metal. Yes.
Okay. You owe us a beer. Yeah.
In the meantime, and in between time, that's it. This has been another exciting episode of Wrestling Night in Canada. I'm Snowy White.
I'm Matt Copper.
I'm Dustin Maruka.
Signing off.
And we're from Winnipeg, you idiots.